Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is episode 20 of A Deeper Dive, and this is also episode 20 of the Apocalypse series.
Yes, it is.
You can also text us your questions at 954-388-8780. And I'm here with my wonderful co-host. How you doing, Don?
Hi, I'm good. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
Good, good.
And as we always do, we start off with a word of prayer.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that you can come to us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Spirit more and more each day. We thank you for this podcast, Lord. We thank you for the demographics that it's reaching out to, Lord, the different people that are listening to this, Lord, and understanding what we're about, Lord, what you are more about, Lord.
Amen.
But at the same time, Lord, let them just touch it from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. So may they be blessed and ask questions among this podcast, Lord. Continue to bless us in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Guess what we have again, Dawn?
Yes, we do.
All right. Our pastor, he's back again.
He is.
Welcome, Pastor Jay.
Yes. Thank you. Good to be back.
Right. Wonderful. It's wonderful, wonderful.
So let's get straight into it. Last week, you talked about the beast. And this week, you're talking about, what are we talking about?
Jesus.
Okay. So how do both of these sermons connect with each other?
Well, practically what we had this week is a continuation of last week's presentation. Because last time we spoke about the demonic trinity.
Right, right.
Which in the book of Revelation chapters 12 and 13 is made of the dragon, first and second beast.
Yes.
Right.
And this time, this week, I continued trying to explain, make it vivid, how the second beast will recreate the image of the first beast.
Yeah, that was wounded.
And then impose, force, worship.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All righty.
I wanted to thank you for that illustration that you showed us about Pastor Mike. That was...
I know.
I like that.
Wasn't
it like
great?
That. You know, the phylacteries you were talking
the
about.
The phylacteries.
Give us a brief as how, you know, over, because I saw people, they saw what you were doing.
Right.
But, you know, what it really represented.
Yes.
Yeah, so that illustration came to my mind Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted Pastor Mike because I knew he's Jewish by ethnicity. And I said, hey, he must have phylacteries.
Right.
Phylacteries being those little boxes that they stripe on their hands, on the left hand in the Jewish tradition, and on their forehead.
Right.
Okay.
And the significance of that is that in that little box, there are parts of the Torah.
Okay.
Okay.
The most significant parts of the Torah.
Right.
And they do that traditionally because it's something coming from the Old Testament when God gave this instruction to his people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because in those days, few people knew how to write and how to read, and they didn't have the full scroll of the Torah that was kept.
First four books
at the tent of the meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they did this symbolic thing where they had something on their hands and on their forehead.
Yes.
Right.
Because the forehead stands as a symbol for the mind.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Because it's the center of the human being. That's where the decisions are made.
Right.
And then the hand, which is action, behavior, acting out what is decided up here.
Right.
Okay? Right.
So that's a symbol that in the New Testament...
Mm-hmm.
is somehow connected to this concept of the mark of the beast and the seal of God.
Right.
So that's why I thought it's going to be vivid to have an actual human being
up
on stage bringing something tangible,
tangible
that can really show, hey, this is what this is about.
Right,
exactly.
I see that.
So you just touched on it about God's seal for his people. How do we know in this day and age, everything we go through, when we meet people, how do we know that they're truly sealed with God's character?
Okay, a good question.
Well, that's a deep question, and I would answer saying that you can only know if you have the ability to know.
Okay.
There is a verse in the Bible that says that spiritual things
are spiritually discerned.
Are spiritually discerned.
Right, yes.
So, in as much as somebody can have that spiritual discernment, you can kind of see if somebody really belongs to God or not.
Okay.
But I wouldn't go and place judgments on people,
okay,
because we can easily be confused.
True.
Okay.
Okay. The human being, even somebody that belongs to God, can be assaulted by the enemy at any point in his or
it's
her
true.
Life.
Yes. Very true.
And just because something seems weird in somebody else's behavior, because the other verse in the Bible that talks to this is when Jesus says that you will know the tree by the fruit.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's a pretty good way of recognizing if somebody is or not something. But
okay.
In the end, there may be a moment when my mind is disturbed by some attack of the enemy, and my discernment may go just off,
off
for a little while,
and
then I place judgment on somebody. And it's not us that have to really decide who belongs to whom.
Right.
At this point in time, I think the best way to approach any human being is to see not necessarily who or what that human being is, but rather see what that human being can become by God's grace.
Right.
And in that situation, in that case, we will see value in every single human
person.
Being.
Okay. Absolutely.
Understood.
Absolutely.
Understood.
That's so true.
In Revelation, I think it's 13, verse 17, you spoke about the mark and the name and the number.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke about the sealing, the God's character, His love. You also talk about the fulfillment of the law.
Yes.
And then you also spoke about the Ten Commandments. Why do you think that we violate number four so much? The Sabbath keeping.
Yeah.
I think there is a direct assault of the enemy against that particular commandment.
Okay.
Because if you go back to the history of salvation as it is presented in the Bible, it's pretty clear that from the very beginning, God had a special purpose with that day.
Right.
Okay, you just read the story of creation, and you will see that there was day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the seventh day, God made it special.
Right.
God blessed that day and sanctified that day. Now, that's very interesting. It is very interesting how this concept of blessing is rolled out in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The word that is used in the Old Testament for blessing, word barak, that means also to kneel down. When somebody kneels down, leaves a mark on the ground.
Okay, like an impression. Okay.
That's how the Hebrew expresses.
Right.
Coming from concrete realities, abstract realities.
Yes.
Okay. So you place your knee down, there's a mark there.
Yes.
That mark is a blessing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the Sabbath day being blessed is as if God placed his knee on it.
I didn't see that. I did not see that.
A special mark on that day.
And just by the way, that word is in the Hebrew, it is?
In the Hebrew, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now,
I did not see that.
Seeing that value of the Sabbath, but you can go much wider linguistically to sense
right.
the beauty and the richness of the Sabbath day, of the Shabbat.
Just rest.
Yes.
But it's rest not only in the sense of I'm not doing something or I'm not doing anything, but also in the sense that I'm doing something that is rest.
Yes.
Okay.
But going on, we see that in the life of the Jewish people, God used that day of rest, Sabbath day, as a constant reminder of Him being the Creator.
Yes, yes.
And that same thing comes in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Sabbath is an emblem, if you want, of God being the creator of this universe and of our world within it.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Sabbath day being also presented in the Bible as a sign of allegiance between God and His people.
Right.
We have a lot of elements, you know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that suggest and kind of enforce the idea that, hey, this day, a Sabbath day, is totally special.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes.
It's something different.
Yes.
It's something unique.
Yes.
So if God has something really special, if God put His
knee
on it,
yes,
yeah. Okay,
then why won't we, why would we wonder if the enemy attacks that same reality, that exact reality.
Understood. Exactly.
I think that was in Ezekiel you were talking about.
Yeah.
20 verse 12.
Yeah.
Yes.
That He set us apart.
Yes.
And we're sanctified.
Yeah.
And we are. We're special.
And see that thing, you know, blessed.
Yes.
And sanctified.
And sanctified, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. So you also talked about the true Sabbath and the false Sabbath. We've talked a little bit about that just now. Mm-hmm. But I think my question is, we see a lot of violation. Would we say that everyone that worships on a Sunday or on any other day of the week is considered not really following God's law and therefore they don't have His imprint on them?
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good question. Okay, so first of all, we are not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments or all God's commandments or keeping the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Salvation is not based on what we are doing.
What we are doing.
Of course not.
Okay.
So we have to establish that from the very get-go, because otherwise we will again start being judgmental.
Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And look at other people and say, okay, so you don't qualify, you may qualify, I'm not sure.
Yes, it's true.
To be honest, we will have doubts about ourselves too.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
But that's not what salvation is about.
Right.
Salvation is about God's grace seeking the lost.
Right.
Yes.
Okay? And when you answer to God's appeal, that's when metanoia starts happening.
Okay. Mm.
The new mind starts happening. And when that change of mind happens, that's when the Holy Spirit puts the seal.
Okay.
Once the Holy Spirit puts the
seal,
then the process of learning starts.
Okay.
Okay.
That's when God starts writing His law in the mind and in the heart. Now, knowing that, we realize that not everybody at every point of his or her Christian walk has all the law in the mind
or
in the heart.
It's
true.
Right.
Yes.
Because it's a process of learning.
It's a process. You have to keep learning. Okay? Yeah.
So that's why we cannot say that at this moment, anybody that keeps another day of worship is lost,
exactly,
is doomed to perdition.
Okay.
Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
You sure don't.
Right.
And based on the Bible, we can say that God doesn't keep in account the time when somebody doesn't know something.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
God is gracious.
Yeah.
God forgives the time of not knowing. I don't want to say ignorance because that means something else.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. But when somebody is really following God's commandments and allows God to write His law, His commandments in the mind and in the heart, there must be a growth process there.
Yes, exactly.
But what we can say is, based on the apocalyptic description, or the description in the book of Revelation, is that there is a time in history, right before the end, when everybody has to be either on one side or the other side.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe that's when this issue will become critical. Not necessarily the Sabbath in the sense of keeping one particular day, but in the sense of, am I sealed on one side or on the other?
On the side.
Because if I'm sealed on God's side, if I change my mind, okay, I made that decision, and now the process has started, somebody may be in the process of learning now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there will be an eternity to learn that.
Exactly.
But if somebody does not make that decision, then obviously the mark of the beast
is there.
Is the one that is
it's the imposing,
distinctive
sign.
Right.
You know, for that human being.
Yes.
So in this process of sealing and marking, sealing with the seal of God's seal or the seal of the living God. That's what the book of Revelation says.
Right.
Or the mark of the beast on the other side. You can still see God's gracious intervention in the life of human beings.
Yes.
Constantly calling, constantly calling. But we cannot avoid saying that the Bible clearly indicates that there will be a moment in history when this possibility of moving from one side to the other will not exist anymore.
Right, right.
Because the end will happen at one point. The end, which will be actually a new beginning.
Of course.
Okay, or a continuation of eternity
believe,
on the other side.
Exactly, exactly.
Isn't that, when you were talking about it, I was thinking about the investigative judgment
at
the time that's going on now.
Yeah, well, when and you say investigative judgment, people will ask, okay, so what's that now?
Right.
Yeah, no. another story.
Yeah, there might be another time, but I was just thinking about that, you know, in between the side of one side or the other, but God is actually doing it now, the investigative judgment. But we'll save that for another time.
Well, just for clarification. The investigative judgment or the pre-Advent judgment is a reality going on before the Advent.
Okay.
That's why it's called pre-Advent. Advent, Advent means coming.
Yes.
Okay. Or re-coming.
Right.
Advenio, advenire. That's from the Latin.
The Latin form. Okay.
And it's a word that is used for the coming of Jesus. Either first coming when he was born or the second coming when he is coming back.
Okay.
Okay. So, according to the Bible, there is some part of the judgment that is happening before the final judgment when the verdict
is given.
Is given.
Right.
There are some clarifications that are given by God in front of the whole universe with regard to who belongs to whom.
Right. Okay. Right. Right.
Because we tend to think about the plan of salvation and about our walk with the Lord as if it was only us in this universe. Okay, we often have this little perspective of reality.
Yeah,
According to the Bible, there is a reality beyond us. Even intelligent reality. And I know I'm scraping
the surface
here
on that one.
And we may not have time to go there.
Yeah,
but
that's another one. Well, this is a twofold question for you. Your personal answer on this one is, what is the mark of the beast? And the second one is, can you debunk this myth that's widely held among different Christians or whatever circle, that the mark of the beast is a computer chip. I hear it. What do you say about that?
So first of all, the mark of the beast, as it appears in the book of Revelation, is the sign of allegiance or the mark of allegiance between the beast and those who adhere to him.
Okay.
Okay.
And more specifically, the book of Revelation says that it's the name of the beast.
Okay. Right. Okay.
The name of the beast, if we decodify the symbolic language, the name stands for character in biblical times.
Okay.
So it's the character of the beast.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So meaning somebody who takes on the character of the beast.
Okay.
That's marked by the mark of the beast.
Okay. But isn't that mark the 666?
Yeah.
Well, the book of Revelation says, and that name also has a number.
Yes.
Which is 666.
Okay.
Now, there are all kind of attempts to clarify what that really means. Mm-hmm. And some people enter the geometria and all kind of numeric way of calculations. I wouldn't go there. I have some answers for myself, but until further clarifications, I will not...
For the next one, Don.
I will not, right. not go there.
Continuation.
But, and by the way, the book of Revelation clearly says that here you really need wisdom.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Okay,
it does.
So
it does.
I think it's wise
right.
to wait until you know what you are saying.
Okay.
Okay.
That's part of the wisdom.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand.
But yeah, I have some ideas in my mind with regard to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you were asking about the chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here is the thing with regard to the chips. At least that's how I understand it.
I know.
Okay. Clearly, in the biblical language, we don't have the chips. Okay, because chips were not in use in those times.
Right.
Maybe potato chips, but not not the computer chips, not the data storing chips. Okay.
Okay.
So that is highly improbable.
Okay.
Plus, the language is symbolic.
All right.
It's about a mark.
Mm-hmm.
A chip is not a mark.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So even if we take it literally, a mark is a mark.
True.
It's not a chip.
It's true.
Okay. Right. It's not literal. Right. It's a symbolic language. So that's why I said the mark is practically the character of the beast.
Okay.
Manifested in different things.
Ways.
Okay.
Among other things, the day of worship.
Right.
Because that's in clear contrast with God's day of worship, which is God's sign of allegiance.
Okay, yes.
But beyond that, I think there may be something about the chip. I didn't say that in the sermon because I don't want to throw people off.
Yeah, of course.
No?
Right.
But if there will be a constrained situation orchestrated by the beast, even a death decree given against those who refuse the mark of the beast.
Mm.
We don't know how that will play out.
We don't.
Okay.
It may be that in that decree situation, in that, are you going to take this or not situation, somehow a chip may be involved. How? I can't tell you. Because I don't want to create paranoid scenarios or conspiracy theories.
Exactly.
Because
chips
are in use these days, right? And there are a lot of good, beneficial uses of chips.
Yes.
Okay. Electronics work on chips.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. On the other hand, when you think about human freedom, civil rights,
it
may be a little tricky.
Because you
may fear that something
it is a big time violation
will come against you.
Yeah.
And that's what I lead into.
But artificial intelligence in itself is scary.
It is. In one hand, it's wonderful.
Yes.
In the other hand, you might, my goodness, that leads to what I was telling Don earlier about 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, it was a terrible day for a lot of us, and nearly 3,000 people died.
Yep.
And it talked about, you mentioned about, at that time, you know, our personal freedom
was hindered.
Eroding.
Yes, it was.
But they were doing it in the name of security and safety.
Yes, right.
And immediately thought back to the Patriot Act that was established and passed by Congress and signed by President Bush back in 2001 about the Patriot Act, how it protects the nation or whoever.
It looks like it's protection.
It looks like it does. But when you find out, it's really turned itself into infringing our rights.
Our rights.
Yeah. Left and right. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
What do you say about that,
Pastor? See how tricky it is?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because can you say safety and security are not important and not good?
No,
they because you important. Want to be.
They are important, yes, you are.
Okay. Yep, yep. And what would you expect for the government not to protect the citizens?
That's right.
So it's all good, apparently.
Apparently.
Okay. But here is what the big problem is with our world. Okay. That anything that is used in a good direction can be diverted like in a second and go the other direction.
Yeah, because that happens so fast.
That's when you have a fight, a battle between good and evil. And that's the same with technology. Mm-hmm. Okay, technology is great.
Yes,
hey man,
is.
I mean,
it is.
What we can do today, the way we can communicate today is great.
It is.
Can it turn against us?
Of course.
Absolutely. Is the banking system wrong in itself?
Okay.
You don't know this one. Not sure about this one. But imagine we live in a world that facilitates in the financial realm a lot of things that back in history you had a hard time doing.
You did.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Can that turn against you? Of course.
Yes.
So at this point where you can still see the fight between good and evil, you can just hope and pray that God has enough people in every system, in every government, in every decision-making body to keep it balanced out.
Right.
Or at least do not allow. By the way, there's a very interesting picture in the book of Revelation where you see four angels holding the winds back.
On each corner of the globe.
Yeah.
Applying it, you know, a little loosely, still, it's like our world functions like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true.
It's like evil tries to get everything, you know, just get a hold of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And God says, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have my people here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. I still have my folks to seal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Until that time, yes.
Because we cannot just, you know, remember what God discussed with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was testing, almost tempting God. And he said, so are you now killing the good and the bad together? you remember that episode?
I do remember.
And,
I do remember.
And the Lord said, no. If you find this many people, I'm going to spare the whole city.
Yes, he did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, at one point, it was proved to Abraham that there are very few. So God would do a much better job if he would rescue those few
and
annihilate the rest. Yeah,
and that's the scenario of the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
it's true.
There will be a point where, from a mathematical standpoint, it would be much better, much more efficient
mm-hmm.
to to rescue the few,
mm-hmm.
because you can't handle, because the end comes mm-hmm. when evil gets to that point, to that
yes,
level.
Okay. That level.
Okay.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about social credit score.
Creepy, huh?
That is. What is it? Because I have never heard that before.
Okay. That's another score. Whenever you deal with scores, you have points.
Yes, you do.
Okay. And when you have points, you can increase and decrease on mm-hmm. those points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a reward and punishment system.
Wow.
That is in use already in some parts of China.
Okay.
Okay. They are testing
okay.
it.
Okay.
They are. It's tested in a communist system.
The regime. Okay. Okay. Okay.
But hey, don't think
doesn't
China is
anything.
That far from the
no,
U.S.
No, not really. No, okay? not really. Never thought that.
Because now distance is relative.
Relative.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
But this is what is happening. And you can go online now mm-hmm. that you know about it,
right.
and do just a preliminary search.
Search,
and you will say, "Oh my goodness, is this happening in the 21st century?"
Yes,
because this is what is happening. They monitor your financial and social behavior,
mm-hmm.
and based on what you do, your behavior patterns, they decide for you if you are entitled or not to access services. Or goods.
Really?
Wow.
You can buy certain things if your credit score, if your social credit score is not good.
But if you keep in your patterns consistent in their eyesight, so to speak.
Well, you can keep, and I think that seems to be beneficial.
Yeah.
Because that's what they say they are doing.
Uh-huh.
They are helping you to be a responsible social being.
It is something.
Okay. And that is controlled by the government? It's a governmental industry?
The government through some agencies.
Okay.
Because there are different credit scores. I don't want to enter in technical details. Yes. I just want us to get the meat of it.
Yes.
Yes.
So the point is that, you're helping me to be a more responsible social player.
Person. Yes.
Yeah.
But the problem is, who decides what is good and what is bad?
That's
exactly.
right. That's the next question.
And that's what I was
going to
ask.
That?
Who,
because in the same
it's
country,
not human
Christianity
that?
Is underground.
Yeah.
You understand
it's
what
true.
I'm saying?
It's true. It's true. Yes, you're right. You're right.
So that means if you are a professed Christian, act like a Christian, walk like a Christian, speak like a Christian, what is going
what's
to happen to your credit
be?
Score?
Yeah, what's your credit
That's
score?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. What is it going to be?
Your social credit score.
Your social credit score, yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Whole
so
another
it's
element.
Whole another.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another time too.
It
but
is.
My goodness.
Thank God it's in China. You know?
Yes.
That's what we thank.
Yes.
Like, we think.
Yes.
Think naturally.
Yes.
Yeah. America's the land of the free.
That's what it says.
Yep.
Don. We got an earful today.
We did. Learned a lot.
A lot.
I learned a
yes,
lot.
Yes, this is going to carry on.
Absolutely.
Pastor, we wonderfully thank you.
Yes.
For the illustrations, for phylacteries.
forgive me for disturbing you.
That's okay. No, you did not.
But you know, I talk about these things, and my wife told me yesterday, you know, I've never heard somebody speak about these kind of things.
Yes.
So relaxed, like you were not scared, you were just giving things out.
This
is happening, this is happening.
Yeah,
just think about it.
Yeah,
okay. And I said, what should I do? Should I, you know,
this is scary.
Gnash my teeth or what?
Exactly.
Like a, what do you call it?
Because,
a bully pulpit?
because in the end, the book of Revelation says that the 144,000, which represents those that are saved, horrible final situation, you are on Mount Zion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then then why panic? Why
are we panicking?
Yes, why are you?
Doesn't make sense.
Why are you?
Just be aware of it.
Yes.
It's
key.
Out there.
It's that
out
is key.
There.
Be aware.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And as Jesus said, when it's going to happen, you believe.
Yes.
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 You do.
Yes.
That's all about it.
Adar,
absolutely.
You got enough?
For now. I'm going to go do my research.
That's right. I'm going to definitely do my research on that. But thank you, Pastor, for helping us on this. And it's, of course,
thank you, guys.
It's going to be ongoing. And we want to thank you for that. There, as always, Pastor, we ask you if you will lead us in a word of prayer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you because of the victory we have in Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we see realities going on in the world. Some are far from us. Mm-hmm. Some are closer to us. We don't even know what is far and what is close.
Mm.
But one thing we know. We are safe in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is by Him. And we pray that every day we will allow the Holy Spirit to continue writing in His law in our minds, in our hearts, so that we can become more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. In our thinking, in our attitude, words, deeds, everything.
Yes.
And following Him, walking with Him, let it be a joyful experience, but also an experience of awareness, of seeing reality, analyzing reality, and always trying to understand how you work to the good things and bad things of this world.
Yes.
Amen.
So that we can be more informed, reading the Bible and analyzing life and reality in the prism of the Bible, your word. So we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, thank you once again. Don, it's always a pleasure to have you alongside of me. And we want to thank our podcast listeners. Any questions you may have, you can text us via WhatsApp also as well, 954-388-8780. May God bless and continue to keep Bahamas in your prayers.